Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Glad you are here. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the wave. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @Radio Joe Sports. Find us over on Facebook, The Bill Michaels Show on Facebook. That is facebook.com/The Bill Michaels Show. Look for the blue check mark there. You can find us at the radio.com app as well. Take us everywhere. And then there's always the website, BillMichaelsSports.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. No Wednesday Night Live this week. They will be back next week as they take a little bit of a break for the 3rd of July and 4th of July, and then get it all going on again next week as they lead us right into Wisconsin State Fair time and the remainder of what is left of our summer. That fast, that furious. Let's bring in Adam McAlvey, shall we?
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
And Adam McAlvey joining us on the line. Adam, are you in the Queen City?
No, I am in the Cream City, and I hope everybody is outside today because it is really nice.
I love this weather. I saw people yesterday actually complaining about the heat and humidity, and I just wanted to pull my hair out. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been 60 degrees. It's spectacular.
I love it.
Quit your job, go to Summerfest, have some lakefront beers, and Venice Club eggplant, and have a good day.
Yeah, I can't get enough of this, without a doubt. So, let me ask you this. Christian Yelich gets to 30. Let's just say he gets a few more dingers here before the end of the unofficial first half of the season. We're talking about juiced balls in baseball. Could we actually go on Christian Yelich towards home run watch of breaking Barry Bonds' record or at least getting to Roger Maris' record?
Yeah, I mean, 73 is a big number, so I'm not certain we're going to see that. But look, for a time, he was on a 61 homer pace. Now he's fallen off that because he went through, Christian Yelich wise, a long drought here between number 29 and number 30. And he had some really close calls in that, on that homestand. There were at least three warning track balls that were caught. So, he's no longer on that 60 homer pace, but still, I mean, look, 50 is the club record. That's Prince Fielder in 07. When he was at the height of his powers, literally. And, I mean, 50 would be an unreal accomplishment. And he's certainly, that's within his reach. And, look, juice ball or not, the way this guy hits the baseball, I'm not going to attribute his homers to juice balls because for 30 maybe was a wall scraper in a homer ballpark. But most of Yelich's home runs have been these no-doubt sort of jobs. So I think the credit is more to him than the baseball.
First of all, I agree. Secondly, for anybody that even thought that was a cheapie, has anybody ever watched a ball fly out of Great American? I mean, between Great American and Wrigley, you're talking about two home run hitters' ballparks, including Miller Park and all of this. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, they got a lot of games at Miller Park. They got a lot of games at Great American, a lot of games at Wrigley yet to be played. To me, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for him easily to break 50 and maybe even to get to 60 if he went on some kind of a pace where he hit like six in six games or something like that. So
yeah,
I'm excited about it.
it's staying healthy for him. He's got that back thing. And I know that some people, that's one of the worries about the Home Run Derby. It's just that he's going to swing out his back. But, look, he's aware of the risks involved there. He's got a plan for it of kind of taking it just like BP, stay calm. He's a smart guy. He's a great athlete. I think, you know, he deserves the benefit of the doubt if he thinks he can do that and stay healthy. And if he's healthy, I think there's enough around him offensively on this club that he's going to get chances to produce and hit home runs down the stretch.
In addition to that, then he's into the Home Run Derby. And not only are we afraid of, you know, the ability to hurt himself, but we all know what that myth is coming out of the Home Run Derby, right?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I mean, it's to me, it's the same thing as the Brewers struggle against pitchers in their major league debut. I mean, they don't. But I think if I'm standing out in the third ward right now, I bet if I stop the next person walking by and I ask them, how do you think pitchers do against the Brewers in their big league debut? They'll probably say that pitcher dominates. It's just perception. When something happens like it happened to Jesus Aguilar last year, where he doesn't produce anything in the second half like he did in the first, and he participated in the Home Run Derby, you attribute it to the Derby. I think more likely is that Aguilar was just on an unsustainable pace in the first half. That's what it's proven. I think there's enough evidence since then to prove that. And I think that there's probably lots of experience of that where Derby participants are guys who had sort of otherworldly first half. And look, to think Christian Yelich is going to stay on this homer pace for the whole season, that might be one of those unsustainable things. I mean, his pace until at least this drought before last night, that was a pretty crazy pace. And I'm not certain that it was realistic to think that he was going to hit 61, 62 home runs in a season, juice baseballs or not. So, you know, part of this, I think, is just the bias of, you know, putting 1 + 1 = 2 when, in this case, maybe it doesn't. That's a bad example because 1 + 1 does equal 2, but we learned the other day that I can't do math.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, as long as you're getting the writing portion of it correct and you're not having to actually figure up averages and do the math, you're good to go. So we're fine with that. Hey, the pitching prowess of this team, you know, first and foremost, Jimmy Nelson, the elbow, we learned that he's got some soreness and tenderness there. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, I was surprised to hear him say that never went away in spring training. You know, it was at the end of spring training, he was on track to start the year in AAA. That was a big storyline. Then all of a sudden he wasn't ready because of his elbow. I guess I just assumed that before he picked up a ball again, that soreness would have got out of it. They would have got that out of it. That turned out, according to Nelson, not to be the case. That really surprised me that he would pitch in sort of a compromised fashion. I guess at some point you have to move forward, and that's sort of what we heard from David Stearns and Jimmy himself, that at some point they just decided, you know, we got to push. This has been such a long road. It's not going to be perfect. It's time to kind of move forward, and that's what they did. But that part of it surprised me because I did not know that the elbow was an issue at all. So that stood out to me. And now I think, you know, this is it's A, tough for Jimmy Nelson. It also, it's another, makes you wonder if he's ever going to get back, you know, not to where he was, because I don't know if a pitcher comes back from shoulder surgery and is exactly what he was. He was going to be different. But it makes you worry that he's not going to come back and be able to be an effective pitcher in the major leagues. So, look, he's been challenged this whole way, three parts of three seasons. This is a huge challenge again. And, you know, the odds are against him, but he's as hard a worker as anybody in the game. And as he said the other day, he's not going to fold. So he's going to keep trying to get right and get back to the point where he can contribute to this team.
The pitching staff in general, we all assume that there is going to be a deal made. Now we've turned the corner. We're sitting here on the 2nd of July. We're coming up on the All-Star break. How quickly do you think it now, every week we talk about this, what is the accelerated thought process when it comes to bringing in additional pitching? Because we all know they're going to do it, or at least hope they do it.
Well, I would say they're going to bring in some kind of pitching. The question is whether it's a starter or a reliever. I actually, like, I don't like to offer my opinion very much. It probably annoys people. But my opinion is a reliever is a safer bet. And I almost think you can make the case that a reliever might help them more because they can impact more games. And if you can build a killer bullpen like they had last year, you can get away with shorter starts where your pitchers, like they were a lot last year, twice through the order and then go to that pen. It'll cost you less in terms of prospects. There's more guys available. Even though there's volatility in relief, there's volatility in starting too. And you're talking about getting a guy for, what, a dozen starts, maybe 10 starts, depending on when the move happens. So with a reliever, you can maybe impact more games. So I don't know. That seems to me more likely based on David Stern's history of where they'll go. But you certainly can make an argument that there's a need for starting pitching. They've burned through a lot of their depth. I think it was encouraging that Adrian Houser got out into the game last night. He is a really good young arm, and if he can be a contributor, that would be a very big deal for them with Burns and Peralta and Nelson having not worked out in the rotation. So I think that was a big thing last night. And look, the hard part for David Stearns now is think back to 08 where Doug Melvin sees a need for a starter, and he goes out and pays a premium to get CeCe Sabathia on July 7th, 2008. They get two starts out of Sabathia before the All-Star break, and everybody knows how those went and how the starts after that went. And he carried them to the playoffs. That was Doug Melvin and Chris Antonetti. I don't think today's GM makes those kinds of deals. Everything now goes right down to the deadline, and they want every piece of information and every bit of risk aversion checked off before they're willing to make a move. So you just don't see deals made early like that. And that makes me just think the odds are that it's going to go down to at least the week before the trade deadline, before a move can get done. And to me, again, that's an argument against the starter because it's just going to impact that fewer number of games. So look, we'll see what he does. But I would say one way or the other, you're correct, Bill, that there's an impetus to bring in some pitching.
Always good to chat, my friend. Go enjoy yourself, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. Yeah.
All right, buddy, there you go. That's Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years have been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of The Big Show and the Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show on 105.7 FM The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. Is Sterling Brown the replacement to Malcolm Brogdon? We'll get into that discussion. Are the Bucks a better basketball team as we sit here today? That is coming up. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state, beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate. They can also help you out with low T if you're feeling sluggish or moody or you just don't have energy or stamina anymore. All you got to do is make a phone call. Just call them. They can help you out. And if you're looking to lose some weight, feel better, look better, that is a program that works. I am living proof of that. Call them, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show on the air. Coming up here up to the bottom of the hour, it's the MKE MVP. I'll tell you what it is I'm talking about coming up here in just a short bit. Hey, I'm sure you've all seen the fact that gas, it gets a little more expensive in the summer. You've got the reformulated blends on and on and on. Everybody knows that. Doesn't really matter what you think of all the reformulated blends for us here in Wisconsin. It is what it is in almost every area. Where the show is heard, has more expensive gas in the summer than in the winter. And it's a perfect time to try and let it 88 in your car that's newer than 2001. If you're lucky enough to have a flex fuel vehicle, now is the time to try the E85. All the gasoline has additives, by the way, for those that didn't know. And raw gas, only 84 octane. The corn growers here in the state of Wisconsin remind you that ethanol, it's the safest and it's not harmful to human health. And they're the ones that benefit from going with the unleaded 88 or the E85, the higher octane. And in the regular unleaded, it's cheaper. It helps you out at the pump a little bit, the pain of the pump, so to speak. Ethanol, cheaper than raw gas. The more ethanol in the gas, the cheaper your gas is. So if you're out and about and you've got a car that's newer than 2001, stop into your local Quick Trip or Jets or any place that sells the unleaded 88 or the E85 and check it out for yourself. And if you have a flex fuel vehicle, use the E85. If not, use the unleaded 88. See if it doesn't save you a little money and also a little bit at the pump when it comes to mileage and such. So you'll be good to go. And it burns cleaner, helping our environment. We're happy campers. I haven't used that term probably since high school, but I felt it was appropriate. Speaking of happy campers, the Milwaukee Bucks, they keep Chris Middleton, Lopez, bring in Robin Lopez, they keep George Hill, and now they bring in Wesley Matthews. It appears Giannis is happy with what's going on. Malcolm Brogdon out the door in the sign-and-trade. And the question has been, as many have asked, are the Milwaukee Bucks better, the same, or worse than what they were prior to the start of the offseason, so to speak? Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, co-host of The Big Show and Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show on 105.7 FM The Fan, our flagship out of Milwaukee, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Spark, you tell me, what do you think of this team the way it sits right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I like Wesley Matthews. I think that's a good addition. Cheaper than, obviously, all the money that Indiana spent on Malcolm Brogdon. I get that. You look at the George Hill signing, I thought that was a decent contract. Essentially Matthew Dellavedova-type numbers financially, but he's better. And you can't pay for the chemistry that he adds to that locker room, as you've talked about before in the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, how important he is from that aspect. Robin Lopez coming in, brother of Brook Lopez. I'm not a huge fan of that dude, but they're not paying him a whole bunch of money either. Solid backup, so I'm fine with that. I think the only thing I'm looking at and kind of hoping that they had one more of is one more, you know, small forward that could score maybe a little bit off of the bench behind Chris Middleton, or a combo four that can play the three or the four off of the bench. I think if I had one thing that I'd like to add to this team that they don't have, that I don't really like the depth of, is probably that position.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, unless they're relying on like a Sterling Brown, a DiVincenzo, I mean, they did get minutes that were quality minutes out of just about everybody at some point or another. Pat Connaughton even gave him quality minutes. I still ask, where's that guy? Is that guy really going to be Middleton? Is he going to develop into that guy, or is it going to be somebody else? But then again, if the East has become a little more diluted, then in essence they got better just by osmosis, just by kind of sitting there. But I just don't know who that guy is going to be. You put yourself in the same situation looking at the Toronto Raptors all over again if Kawhi Leonard would happen to stay, which I don't think he is. But, you know, if the same thing happens, if Giannis can't score on the inside, he's going to get his 25, he's going to go to the free throw line, he's going to be 50%, who's going to be the guy that's going to pick up the slack? I don't know if they have that guy right now. Do you?
No, I don't know if they have that guy either. It's going to be just kind of like last year where you're going to have a kind of a team effort and the guys are going to have to step up on different nights. Look, they're going to really depend on Giannis making another jump. And that's really where it's going to come from. It's him taking another step forward. And if he takes another step forward, and you can talk about competing for a title, but even as it sits right now, I think, for me, I don't see anybody in the East beating him right now based on how rosters are stacked right now. I think the Nets will probably provide the toughest fight, even without Durant, in the East. Again, going with what you said, that Kawhi Leonard ends up in the West with the Lakers or the Clippers. If Kawhi comes back, then it's probably Toronto and the Bucks again in the Eastern Conference Finals. See what happens.
Do you think that the East has gotten better or worse? I mean, are we just waiting on the Kawhi Leonard decision, or do we think it's better or worse?
I think it's a little bit deeper than it maybe it has been in the past. Star power obviously isn't there necessarily. Star power is still in the Western Conference. But if you go from the top to the bottom, I think, you know, that second group is maybe a little bit bigger than it was in the past in the Eastern Conference. More teams that are probably going to be around 500 than maybe in the past. There's not as big of a drop-off necessarily like there was years previously in the Eastern Conference. So I think you could have, you know, one through, let's say it's the Bucks, let's say Kawhi comes back to Toronto, and then you have Brooklyn. So let's say it's those three teams. And then after that, then who are you going to next? Because Boston looks like they're probably going to take a little bit of a step back, possibly. And then it's Indiana, but they were without Oladipo for part of the season at least. So how will they look until Oladipo comes back? There's a lot of question marks. But once everybody is at full stock, Indiana's a pretty good basketball team. Boston's still pretty good at that point. Detroit is still trying to figure themselves out. They had Derrick Rose, who had a better season last year that they're going to try and use going forward. So I don't know. I'm not as down in the East maybe as some other people are. I think it's deeper than it's been in years past. Still not as good as the West, obviously.
I love the fact that Giannis still has a ceiling that hasn't been reached. How much better do you think he gets? I mean, the number one thing I think everybody looks at and says, is he going to be able to develop a jump shot, and is he going to get better when it comes to the free throw line? If he does both of those things, the sky's the limits for Giannis.
We're a broken record. We say this every offseason. We said it every offseason since he's been here. Well, if his jumper gets better. Well, if he gets better at the free throw line. We do this every year, and we're still waiting. And you're seeing that it is getting better little by little. The jumper is definitely getting better. And he had stretches where he was hitting free throws as well throughout the course of the season, too. It's just going to be end-of-game situations. Make those big free throws when you have to make them. And then the jumper, he talked after the season that he wanted to work on the mid-range jumper. And not maybe worry about the three-point shot as much and having some type of counter to when they wall him off like Toronto did to be able to pull up and hit a jumper on somebody. So that apparently was what he was going to try and work on this offseason. So if he can develop that, I think that would be good enough. But again, it's a big if until we see it.
Going into next season, and in how much do you think this team – because I think this team is looking at next season to say, okay – they want. Don't get me wrong. They want to win, and they want to go to the finals and see how much Giannis progresses. But with all this talk about, double indemnity when it comes to taxes and luxury taxes and paying more and such, do you think next year is the year in the offseason in which they decide to go above the luxury tax and kind of go all in?
Oh, they have no choice. They're going to have to pay Giannis a supermax. And then the question is going to be if they aren't winning and not winning to their liking, then how do they get themselves underneath that number so they don't have to pay the super tax if they're not winning the way they want to be? Where would they essentially trim the fat from, I guess, would be a phrase you could use. I don't think any of that becomes an issue because I think if pay Giannis the super max or whatever it is that Giannis wants, they win an NBA championship. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how the super teams play out. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to be in a couple NBA finals. It's just a matter of whether or not they can close at that point. I think the owners know what they're going to have to do, and there's no way they're going to give up Giannis. There's just no chance that's happening. So they're going to pay whatever they have to pay and go from there.
Spark, always good. Crossing my fingers, the Bucks off season has maybe one more deal in it, and then we'll chat again. Okay?
Sounds good, Bill. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show, the Pro Hoops postgame show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee, our flagship station there. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. And at Cousin Subs, it's where they believe in better. And don't forget, at Cousin Subs, right now, you can make it the summer to remember strictly by just heading out for the Wisconsin cheeses. That's right, the creamy Wisconsin mac and cheese featuring the shredded Parmesan, shredded cheddar cheeses, all available at select locations in Wisconsin and Illinois. Make it better. Get it as a compliment to your favorite sub or maybe with a kid's meal. Toppings of bacon, chicken, ham, turkey. You can order online by going to CousinSubs.com, and delivery is available at select locations. That's Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, coming back. It's the MKE MVP, and this is the way sports talk should be because we mix a little beer and a little sports talk. That's next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on and enjoying ourselves today. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself as well. Finally, it at least feels like summer has gotten here. And the way sports talk has always been, and I've always viewed it as, even if you're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like adults in a bar arguing sports, and that's kind of what we have today. We figure we're not in a bar, so we bring the bar to us. And our good friend Dave Hawk from now MKE Brewing, which is in downtown Milwaukee, joining us here in studio today. How you been, man?
Good, Bill. Yeah? Good, Bill. Good to be out here.
It's so weird seeing you in a different, other than the Budweiser garb.
You know, we sell, Beechwood, we sold Budweiser.
Yeah. Well, you carried MKE Brewing.
Yep, we did. We've been selling Milwaukee Brewing for 8 years, and it really built the brand, and it's such a great great brand here in Milwaukee and across the state. So,
for those that don't know, it's voted as one of the best rooftop bars so far on many of the like the local magazine online websites.
Right.
It's it overlooks you because you guys took over part of the factory that was the Pabst, right? The old Pabst Brewery?
Right. It was the Pabst Brewery. It was their distribution center, and then it was a whole real estate development. So there's a glass and griddle restaurant there, a rooftop patio bar that overlooks the Pfizer Forum. It's three blocks west of the Pfizer Forum.
Yeah, I've heard it's just spectacular, the view from up there. Because you can not only see the Pfizer, but you can see the entire downtown, right? The entire city.
Right. It's great. The air show and all the fireworks, it's the rooftop has been off the charts. So it's really exciting. We have lots of events coming up. So
I was going to say, for just that alone, they can go to mkebrewing.com to see what you guys have going on in the rooftop bar, right?
Yep, they can catch it there, and or the glass and griddle and the rooftop have individual sites also.
Okay, cool. With the 4th of July, the heat, the summer right around the corner, there's a couple of things you want to show us today, but then we want to get to the MKE MVP beer.
Yes. So I wanted to kind of just bring in a few beers, talk about the 4th of July. Lots of great. It's the largest beer selling weekend and such a great occasion with all the lakes and things here in Wisconsin. And the first one we're going to sample, Bill, is Outboard Cream Ale here. And the cream ale is it's an ale that's top fermented. It's really, really fruity, creamy, easy drinking.
That's the Outboard?
The Outboard.
Yeah, we had that at the suite the other night, right?
Right.
Down at Miller Park?
Yeah, they served that at Miller Park. And really, pretty much everywhere. It's really grown quite a bit. Easy drinking, not too hoppy. Yeah. Very good summer beer. So, yeah, look for the Outboard out there. That's the first one. That's very much
a retro can, too. It's almost got like the old Johnson Outboard motor writing on it or something. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, the story of that one, it's fashioned after the Evinrude engine.
Evinrude, that's the one I was thinking of, yes.
And Ole Evinrude here in Wisconsin invented the Outboard engine. And he invented it so he could take his girlfriend across and pick up an ice cream on the other side of the lake. So that's
the mother of invention.
Yes.
All for sex. Sex and ice cream.
But if you're an easy drinking beer drinker out there, the Outboard Cream Ale is a great option for the
food. Yeah, that's really good. I like that.
Really good. The next one is a unique product. It's OG Wit. Milwaukee Brewing is kind of famous for using tea-infused beers and doing some unique unique process to infuse some reishi tea into the wit beer. And a wit beer is a wheat beer. Really, again, another easy-drinking summer beer. If you try that, the OG, a little bit of tea flavor in there, easy-drinking. Again, another
That you can smell that beer.
Right.
That's a beer you can smell. Is that a hoppy beer or a wheat heavy beer?
The wheat gives it that unique flavor, but the tea infused gives it a little bit of the nose.
Yeah.
So you can.
Yeah, when you go to put that up to your grill, that punches you in the face. You know what you're drinking there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So that's a unique product, but it's actually one of the top sellers in Milwaukee Brewing.
That's awesome.
And it's won a lot of awards.
That's the thing, because, I mean, craft beers, for as much as we talk about the major brands, craft beers have gone through the roof. I mean, just anybody and everybody's trying to find the next craft beer that is going to become the flavor, right?
Right. So craft beer, it's over 25% now of the total beer market. And, it's shot up from 3 or 4%. So in Wisconsin, craft beer is very healthy and continuing to grow. And a lot of the millennials and younger folks really enjoy supporting local. And, and that's a really important component. We support all the local companies and we buy ingredients locally. So it's been a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt. What's the next one?
So the next one is the Walk Off Triple. This is a great one. It's a Belgian triple, a 10%er. So higher alcohol. It's kind of fashioned after the summer baseball. It's got a nice blue and yellow.
That's really good.
Label, easy drinking. So with a Belgian ale, it's got a unique yeast strain. It gives it that flavor, and you can smell it, kind of clovey. Mm-hmm. But again, very, very easy to drink. Great summer beer again. So
yeah,
we didn't bring the big stouts.
What's the alcohol content in that one?
10.2.
That's 10.2.
Yeah,
that's a knock your socks off right there.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, you drink a six-pack of that, you're not wearing underwear the next day. That'll blow you out, man.
That's why that one comes in a four-pack.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, the walk-off triple is doing great, and people like, again, trying different styles of beer. So when you're having a party.
Of baseball, too, you can tell. I mean, the colors, the pinstripes that are on the case with the amber weeded MKE logo on it, that's a great marketing tool. But this is a really good beer. Yeah. This is probably my favorite, and I've always liked the outboard.
Right. No, the walk-off triple is doing great. You know, again, when people have parties like the 4th of July, these are options because people like variety these days. They don't want to always drink the same beer.
Right.
So these are good suggestions when you're...
So you got the outboard, the J-Wit, and then the MKE walk-off, the triple walk-off, which are all fantastic, all from MKE Brewing. And if you want to find out more information about that, you can always just go to mkbrewing.com. So what else do you have?
So the last one we brought in here is MKE IPA, and basically IPAs are about 30% of the total craft category right now. So IPAs are really popular. Those have a lot of hops in them. There's some bitterness there, but really people's palates
are
expanding.
There's a hoppy beer. That's another one you can smell going in your grill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can smell that. That's floral, citrus hops that are there. Mm-hmm. Really, when you taste something, about 60% of it is what you actually are smelling.
Right.
And that's the dovetails into the next kind of big announcement here that we wanted to talk about. And that kind of rolls into, we're going to come out, and we've been testing this beer in our tap room, and that's the nice thing about having a tap room. And we're going to come out with MKE MVP, kind of as a salute to all of our MVPs here in Milwaukee.
Are four.
Four.
People
now.
Tend to forget about the Ryan Braun side of things, but right. Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich, Giannis, and then obviously Aaron Rodgers.
And we're going to get Bill to help us brew some
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I want to wear the big lab coat and the hairnet and everything. I look really thrilling like that.
So it's a hazy IPA, which again has a lot of hops in it. It's unfiltered, so it is a little cloudy, and it's a really popular style that's going off the charts these days. But we thought that would be the perfect match to come out with this hazy MKE MVP beer at this time. It would be perfect.
When is it? When's it going to be out?
So we're Beechwood's doing some pre-selling right now. So
okay.
We were doing some pre-selling, and we're gonna make some beer with you. We did make some already, the test batches, and we're actually gonna. To go into a full production.
When you need me down there, just let me know. Because I got some time today, tomorrow, I'm good.
I think we're going to get you down here tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow, and we're going to start making some MKE MVP. And,
perfect.
Put Bill's name right on there.
There you go. Right. Yeah, you could get a batch of beer that was brewed by me. Think about that for a minute. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Rats, mice, not included, that kind of thing. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. No, this is awesome. So, again, it's the outboard. It's the walk-off triple. What was the other one over there?
OG Wit.
The OG Wit, and then the MKE IPA. And then look for very, very soon on many of the store shelves and in many of the tap rooms and pubs. And if they just want to go down to the MKE Brewing Company, you can get it there, but it's going to be the MKE MVP. Now, from what I understand, you're sending a case of this to... I can't use the name specifically, but all the MVPs in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're going to get this out to the MVP so they can taste the beer that we're saluting.
And it's a shame that they didn't like have a hand in it, you know?
Well, this is kind of, we're moving fast and furious in this one.
Yeah, no, it would have been great to have
to get it out here, Giannis' party coming up.
Yeah,
I just thought it would be fun. It would
be great to have Giannis up there. I don't think you have a lab coat that tall, but maybe have Giannis up there brewing a big batch of this stuff. Or Rodgers and Danica, like the RD blend or something, something like that.
Yeah, maybe that'll be next.
Maybe that'll be happening.
Maybe that'll be next.
There you go. So they can get all this stuff. Many of the local grocers, they can get it, obviously, at your place. It's distributed by Beechwood, which is our great partner over there at Budweiser as well. They can get it just about everywhere, correct?
Right. The MVP beer is going to come out in draft only initially, just because of the timing of us coming up with the idea. We had the batch, so it'll be on your nearest tavern, short order. But we are going to... make it a can run, but we have to get that squared away. But coming out of the box, we are going to have it on draft.
Okay. So look for that, the MKE MVP on draft at local tap room, so to speak. Hey, how fast is MKE Brewing grow? Because we got a lot of these like microbrews and breweries in the state of Wisconsin now that are just popping up and just exploding.
Right. So Jim McCabe started MKE down at the Ale House in 1997. And he had a great run down there, and then what really helped a lot, and he built his brands, got his recipes refined, and then once he was ready to go into a big distributor like Beechwood, Beechwood helped him go from 2,000 barrels to 12,000 barrels here during the last 6 or so years. So okay. It's, you know, that has really picked up the pace. And now with the new brewery and tap room, you know, sales continue to grow very well. So, I mean, we're looking forward to a lot of bigger things as we move into the new brewery. It's going to allow us to do more barrel aging, and it gives us lots of ability to do brew more beers for people that are looking for all
this. Because there's styles. A lot of those that have popped up in the state, and we travel to them. We do cigar dinners at them. I was out at one in Madison and such, and it seems like not only, one, are they growing, but two, you know as well as I do, there's a ton of beer-drinking pride in the state of Wisconsin. So if they can find something, because, you know, people feel that some of the big ones have kind of left. You know what I mean? Without using names. Is this something that people are latching onto, that not only is it the good craft beers, but it's an MKE beer, which is the representative of the state of Wisconsin?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin people really like to support their local companies, and especially their local breweries. A lot of all these craft breweries, you know, from Wisconsin are getting a lot of local support, and that is taking it to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the bigger guys have moved on and moved out, and you know, that's why, you know, so many people are gravitating to all the flavors and unique brands and unique things that small brewers can make, where the big guys can't dabble in these quick hit brands because they can't make enough scale. They can't brew it at these monster scales that they're used to brewing these batches. So exciting times.
Go to mkebrewing.com. That's mkebrewing.com. You can see everything there for yourself. If you want to go to the glass, what is it? The
glass and griddle.
Glass and griddle, which is the restaurant. You can go to the rooftop bar that they have, which is spectacular. Or if you can just see all the products right there that are brewed locally here in the state of Wisconsin, you can check that out as well. Always good, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate
it. Should be a lot of fun. Look for MKE, the walk-off triple. You can have the MKE IPA. You've got the outboard. You've got numerous brands, including now the MKE MVP. That's all coming to the grocer near you. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Me if I'm gonna too strong, but tonight is the night we can really let go. My girlfriend's out of town and I'm all alone. Your boyfriend's
welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. Well, that's a nice deviation from our normal broadcast. 855-830-8648. Craig Counsell, he gives a little bit of a thought when it comes to Christian Yelich's 30th dinger of the season.
Yeah, I mean, what a pitch to hit it on. I mean, it was at his eyes, it felt like, and he just a towering fly ball. It doesn't seem like those balls go out, but that's a testament to just how hard Christian hits the ball, that ball just kept going and got out of here.
In addition to that, he also compliments Christian Yelich on the season so far.
No, he's having a tremendous first half. You know, I think getting 1,000 hits was a big deal, and you know, getting that 30th homer is gone now. And he's been, you know, I think you'd tell you he's been fighting himself a little bit, but he still came up with a bunch of big hits tonight and a bunch of big at bats.
Also, Craig Counsell says, look, you know, Kane, the homer that kicked off of the big five-run seventh inning, man, that was a big one by Lorenzo Kane. He's been hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, it did. It kicked off a big inning for sure. And then the home run then was just really good at bats. We ended up hitting around and just with a bunch of good at bats. So really good to see a big inning like that. We haven't had one of those in a little bit. So we'll prove the difference.
Also, Craig Counsell says, look, Grandal's bat's been huge in addition for the Brewers as well.
You know, the quality at bats from Yaz is something that we've got from day one. It's been really consistent. He doesn't chase, you know. He's really good at it, and he makes guys throw strikes. He'll foul off tough pitches. It's the kind of guy you want in front of Christian Yelich.
And then there's the Adrian Hauser performance last night as well.
Yeah, I thought he pitched really well. I mean, I thought, you know, the home run is, you know, give Winker credit. I thought the pitches to Votto were, I don't know, good pitches. And then, you know, the Suarez gave him a tough at-bat, and he got him eventually. But, you know, I thought we saw a lot of good signs from Adrian tonight.
Craig Counsell also Hader. Hader comes in and gets that inning, gave up the bomb, but he explains how Hader did not close this game.
Were you going to try to get two innings out of Hader, Craig, or what was your plan?
Yeah, no, I was, well, To me, the eighth inning was the difficult inning in the game with the top of their lineup coming up. And so I wanted Josh in the game. And I thought that was the inning to shut it down. I thought we'd score in the eighth or the ninth. I was sure we were going to score in the eighth or the ninth. I really believed we were going to score. And then, you know, you expand the lead, and it's one inning. One, you know, or the lead stays the same. It was going to be one inning. We had JJ had five right-handed hitters, three-run lead. To get Josh available sooner, it's something I'm willing to do.
So he also discusses why he's willing to pitch Hader in the eighth as opposed to just making him just the closer.
To me, the eighth inning was the difficult inning in the game with the top of their lineup coming up. And so I wanted Josh in the game. And I thought that was the inning to shut it down. To get Josh available sooner, it's something I'm willing to do.
So there you go, Craig Counsell explaining a lot of last night. Also, why he threw Jefferson in the ninth.
JJ had five right-handed hitters, three-run lead. I just think with three, we got to be able to protect three runs, and we got good matchups for JJ, and we get Josh available sooner. I think it's a if you call it a risk, I think it's worth doing.
There you have it. That's Craig Counsell talking about last night's ball game as the Brewers get the win in the opener against Cincinnati. Back at it again tonight, and you're crossing your fingers for yet another win. I'm going to be perched right in front of the television again this evening. Cannot wait. Looking forward to it. I'm getting caught up in it. Brewers back in first place. Maybe they get a little bit of a juice. Maybe the Cubs continue to stub their toes. Last night, they got shellacked by the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they don't appear to be able to turn it around anytime soon either. So Brewers on a little bit of a roll right now. Cross your fingers it continues. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more. We'll talk more about Christian Yelich coming up. Want to get back into that discussion. A little bit nervous about him getting into the home run derby. I know I am. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.